Welcome to the new look of Up the Villa podcast. Welcome back to the channel. This is our Aston Villa match preview for Wolves v Aston Villa. If you're new to our channel, subscribe. Drop this video a like and get involved in the comment section down below. So, four games remain for Aston Villa. And the race for Europe is still on, but it feels like we've now got to start winning these games and get some consistency and get on a decent little bit of a run. So, felt weird yesterday. It feels like I've not done an episode for about a week because I've moved out. But it's only been a day. And we've got some news of Matteo Alemany. Apparently, he's rumoured to be joining Aston Villa. All of the big news outlets, Romano, Ornstein, Percy, they're all going on about it. Barcelona fans, Barcelona fan channels are all talking about it. So it looks like there's an exciting new face coming into Aston Villa. I would say Langer is going to be sticking around. And I think this is all about building the right partnership for Unai Emery to get the job done. And I think that is what it's all about. Not replacing anybody. I think it's getting that cohesive team going. We already know that Unai's already appointed a scout as well. So I think this is really exciting. It's exciting for Villa. It's a massive appointment. It's absolutely huge because the dude, for whatever mess Barcelona are in, he seems to have steadied that ship slightly. And for us to be going over and knocking on that door and saying, come here, kid, come to B6, it feels big. And I think this is what we've all been saying about, like, Unai coming in and the transfer targets. It's now is the time that we have to back him. We have to literally back him, whatever he wants, go out and get, because I have no doubt in my mind that we are going to succeed under Unai Emery. And he needs all of these tools to come together to help him achieve the end goal of, you know, whether it's not this season or it is this season, getting into Europe and then winning those trophies and getting us, you know, structured in the Premier League as a top six team. So I'm joined by Hannah and Ryan. We'll catch their thoughts on everything. But Ryan, what have you made of Alemany and the rumours?
Yeah, I think when the news broke last night, it had the vibe and the feel of it was a done deal. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's jumping on it. The announcement come from Barcelona that he was packing up on the 30th of June and moving on to a new project. You know, when you hear language like that, you think it's done, isn't it? You know, and then everyone's jumped on it today. And yeah, it's good news for the club. And you look at the Barcelona fans' reaction as well. You know, when someone's leaving, you sort of check out what the opposition are saying. And most of them are gutted, aren't they? He's come in, he's steadied the ship when they're...
Ryan's gone. Hannah.
Absolute, you know, you've lost your main man Messi. He's gone because you can't afford to keep him. You lost Messi because you can't afford to keep him. And he comes around, turns it around, and they should, barring an absolute meltdown, win the league this season. So he seems an intelligent guy. He's got a master's in law. He comes in, he builds, and Emery's an architect as well. And them two working side by side, I think he will come in and sit in between Lang and Perslow. Maybe take some of the footballing duties away from Perslow and let him concentrate on the infrastructure, whether Villa Park's going to be the hub for V Sports and the clubs that we are affiliated with. You know, will Perslow have more concentration on that? But as for the footballing side, as the kids like to say now, feels like something's cooking, doesn't it? It does feel like something's cooking with Emery. And hopefully we're about to embark on like a Ferguson Arsene Wenger era where he's the main man, and like you say, Luke, you give him all the tools and he's around for a long time and he builds the club just as he wants it and as he sees it, because I've got mega faith in Emery and whatever he wants to implement and style and how the philosophy of the club runs. I think it all needs to go through Unai Emery. I think this is the one that we go big on, and we lump everything into this. And yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, and it does feel exciting because it's not just Unai's come in. Can you go and just like get us back into Europe, get us back where it feels like we're making the steps to improve the way we operate. And I think that is an important thing because for so many years, there's potentially never been a plan. There's never been, you know, it's just never come together. It's never come into fruition. And I've something that's caught my eye as well is that, you know, he wants to build something like what's the word? It's not like it feels like a B&B at the training ground. You know what I mean? Like you stay overnight and then you wake up, you have your breakfast and you're back on that training.
This wants a bit of accommodation, doesn't it?
That's what I mean. So
that's it, yeah.
I just love all these quirky little steps that we make.
He wants to be sitting in Ballymore with his Villa pajamas on his laptop, working out the results, mate.
So, Hannah, what are your thoughts on everything that we've sort of picked up on there?
I'd have to probably just agree with what you've both said so far. I think I'm in the boat of the group of fans that had no idea who this guy was before a couple of days ago and still don't really have a clue who this guy is today. But I think from what I've read and what I'm hearing, particularly like Ryan touched on from the Barcelona fans, I think it sounds like it could be quite exciting. It's been a mixed bag really under Langer, hasn't it? There have been highs and lows, and I think as we're trying to move towards this consistency and building a backroom team that are really solid and a team that Emery really wants, I think this is a positive move. Perhaps, you know, a bit of the Spanish link, that kind of thing will benefit as well. But it's one of them where, you know, it can look really exciting on paper, but you kind of want to wait and see what happens when he hits the ground running, if and when he does hit B6 over the summer. But I think it's just good to keep hearing these things that are going on in the background, because whilst we're here talking about what's happening on the pitch every week, you know, it's less often that we get to have more insight into sort of what's going on at Ballymore and beyond. So I think one for us to watch, one for us to perhaps get a little bit excited about. But I think the real test will be, can he bed in? How will he work with Lang, if he is going to work with Lang, because we're kind of assuming that he is going to stay on. I think, yeah, one to watch. But all good signs, isn't it? All good signs.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll go back a little bit to the weekend's game against Manchester United. Bit of a disappointing performance, I thought. I didn't get a bit of stick, but I got a couple of comments saying, I think you've been a bit harsh on, you know, the team. They're coming off the back of, you know, a great run. But, you know, I was even listening to Ten Hag today, and he got asked the question about Champions League does he feel happy that he's qualified, and how does he see season, and will he reflect on it? And he just said, I can't reflect on it until the season's finished. And I think that's where my mindset is with Aston Villa at the minute. So, you know, I know we've been on this brilliant, brilliant run, but we lost the game and the season is still on. Do you know what I mean? There's still four games to go. And I think, yes, I'll look back at the end of the season and I'll say, okay, wherever we finish is absolutely amazing. But, you know, I've still firmly got my sights set on Europe. And I do think it was a disappointing performance from Villa. I think, you know, we didn't play our best. We didn't play to our potential. And I think we're a lot better than that now, whether it's because we was lethargic or not, or whether we were tired. I don't know, really. I still stick by the fact that I don't think that's an excuse to me. I really, really don't. And I think with four games to go now, it's about knuckling down, reflecting on the game that we've just seen, be better than that game, and we bang up for it against Wolves, because I do think we need to win this game. I really, really do. I don't want to put too much pressure on the team and say that, you know, there's pressure on us to win, but we've got to win. Do you know what I mean? We're fighting for Europe, and we can't go into this game now thinking a draw will do or we'll take a point here. I think we've got to win it. We've got to go there. We've got to win it. And I think at this moment, we're fighting for seventh. I think we've just got to beat Spurs' results. go to Ryan. You're in the away end. What were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I sort of come away from Old Trafford and it felt more mentally tired than physically tired, I think. Bit similar to the Brentford performance where we just struggled to get going. And look, we went there with a plan. We went there to be high. We went there to be aggressive. We went there to do what we've been doing, rocking up with confidence and taking the game to these teams. You know what I mean? Man United are third in the league. They're Carabao Cup champions. They're in the FA Cup final. And we're going there to have a go at them. Have a go at them. And I just felt like we huffed and puffed. And I just mentally, I think we just ran out of steam. I think we took an awful lot on board lately. Tactics, we took an awful lot of information on board. An awful lot of concentration. And I don't know, I just feel like that Newcastle win, all the excitement and a release of energy and like buzziness, if that's even the word for the future. I just feel like everything just sort of got buzziness. Everything's sort of got released and I feel like we've struggled to regain that momentum a bit. And I also want to give credit to Man United. I think you've got to give credit to Ten Hag as well, because we went there with that high line, we went aggressive and they found a way past it in the end. We caught them offside a lot of times, and some of their best chances where Rashford went through and missed his one-on-one, it gets flagged for offside. The crossbar, it's flagged for offside. So the trap was working, but they're good players and they found angles, they found different ways through and they caught us out. And I was right behind that goal and Rashford hit it and it looked to be going miles wide. And I think I still think it was going wide, but I think because he hit it early, Martinez couldn't really get himself set. He parried it to you-know-who. I ain't even going to mention his name. Goating in front of the bloody away end. But, it goes in off a deflection and goes over the two players. But, again, like Brentford, we show a bit of passion and we come out second half. And Luiz could have nicked it again. We had a couple of good chances there. And when I seen Lindelof clearing balls off the line, having the game of his life, you just know that it's just not your day. Do you know what I mean? And we come away with nothing. And it's been a fantastic 10-game run, but now we want to see a reaction. Like Wolves want a reaction off losing 6-0. We want a reaction off our 1-0 defeat away to Manchester United, who are nearly third in the league. So, like you say, Luke, it's pressure cooker time, because you're in the mix for Europe. And when you're in that mix and in that battle, this is pressure. It's pressure down the bottom and it's pressure up the top. And for us now, we've got to come out all games blazing, because we need them 3 points. And if we can get the 3 points against Wolves, that sets it up for a tasty, tasty game against Tottenham, doesn't it?
Definitely. Hannah, what were your thoughts on it?
I was out in the sticks this weekend, so I caught none of the game. I got about 20 minutes on the radio, old-fashioned style, in the second half, by which point it was 1-0, and it sounded like we were under a little bit of pressure. So in terms of like the performance, I'm not the best person to ask. But what I do think is we kind of showed the signs against Brentford and Fulham that we were starting to just lose a little bit of... kind
buzziness.
Buzziness is exactly the word I was looking for. Thank you, Ryan. A bit of energy, a little bit of just the spark that we had against Newcastle and kind of what was carrying us through the 10-game winning, unbeaten run, sorry. So I think it was kind of probably a natural point where things did lose momentum. Unfortunately, we are still at a point in Aston Villa history where we had to lose at some point, it felt. So luckily, it was just a 1-0 defeat and I don't think it was anything worrying by the sounds of it. And I think, like you say, Ryan, you could look at it almost as fine margins, even if on the balance of things, United deserved to win, which by the sounds of it, they did. It was still fine margins. We could have, like you say, could have nicked it and we could have been having a completely different conversation. So I don't think it's time for us to panic or kind of look back at our buzzingness of the last month or so and regret the excitement of it all, because I think we were still very much on the right path. But it makes the next four games just so important. I can't think of four games in Aston Villa kind of recent history, other than, you know, a period in the Championship and the final few games in our first season back in the Premier League. I can't think of a chunk of games that are going to be perhaps so pivotal in the future of the club, because you look at it and think, you know, if we get three wins out of four and a draw, which is still quite ambitious but doable if we play how we have been, then we're looking at a European spot, which is what we've been talking about for how many years now. I mean, I was a little tot the last time we were in Europe. I don't remember it. So for me, it's just like unbelievable to even be having this conversation. But it's not a point where we need to panic, I think. I think Emery will have learned a lot from that result, and we will have had this week now. It's the first time we've had a good week in a while to reset and kind of tackle Wolves as a completely different proposition, aren't they? Different proposition entirely. But I'm sure we'll go into that in a bit more detail. But I think the main takeaway is just don't panic. It's probably a bit an accumulation of some tiredness mentally, physically, a bit of an off day, and some good performances from United that have just pushed us back half a step. But we're still on track, and I think that the team will not be lacking in confidence still coming up against Wolves, so not to worry.
Definitely. So next four games, and this is what I think, this is a game that we need to desperately win, is because after Wolves come Spurs, Liverpool and Brighton, the three teams that we are coming up against to get Europe. So my thinking is, if we get 3 points against Wolves, that puts us in prime time position to start taking points off those three teams. I think the 3 points against Wolves, if we can get them, are that crucial, then it means that we're in a great position to take the points from the three teams that are in and around this position that we're in now. I personally think 7 points is going to get some form of European football against those three teams that we're up against as well. I think 7 would be enough. What do you think, Ryan? How many points would you say to get, say, worst case scenario is Conference?
I think we need to aim for 9. I think 9 is nailed on, isn't it? It's nailed on. Yeah. I think we've got to beat Wolves. And then it's a good shootout with Spurs, because we're so tight on goal difference that it's a big swing, isn't it? If you win that game and you win by 2 goals, because it will create a 4-goal gap, and that's quite important as well. For me, like I said a few months ago, it's like you're looking at Fulham trying to overtake them, then you look at Brentford. And for me now, in this little mini shootout that we're in, Tottenham's the target, isn't it? Tottenham is the target. Yeah. We've got to play them at Villa Park. They've got tricky games. They've got a resurgent Crystal Palace that they've got nothing to play for. They're just playing now off the buzz of winning games again, and they're the flying high. Pardon?
The buzziness.
The buzziness of winning games again. And, you know, they've got that vibe. Hodgson's doing a great job. So they're going to be rocking up at Tottenham, full of confidence. That's a tricky game. They've got Brentford, who are organised. You know, Brentford are going to be right at it. Yeah. And they've got Leeds away on the last day of the season. Yeah. And, you know, Big Sam there now.
Okay, we've got to touch on this, right? Because Big Sam here, right, I saw a brilliant tweet and I couldn't think who said it. But it basically said, every club has got the Sam Allardyce red button, right? And you have to open that drawer. And if you are in absolute last chance saloon, that button gets pressed, and Leeds are the ones that have been like the last club that can possibly press that button. And it just made me laugh so much. And I mean, well, you are playing Wolves, so we'll go on Wolves in a second. But Leeds' fixtures, Man City, then they've got after that?
Newcastle,
right? Then they've got West Ham, and then they've got Spurs. If they can win one game, just win that Spurs game.
Just win the last one.
Right? And, you know, that would be fantastic. But, yeah, Leeds have had a mare big time. So right, we'll try and get back on track to Wolves. So
I think Wolves, and we've got to win our last two home games, haven't we?
Yeah.
And I think that will do us.
Definitely.
Yeah. So Wolves, let's go. Tough game. They're very good at home. They're coming off the back of an absolute battering against Brighton. And I think if I was a Wolves fan, I'd still be a little bit sceptical on Lopetegui. And I think I'd be sceptical because I think although he steadied the ship and kept them up, the home form's decent, they are throwing in these odd performances. I think Bournemouth at home, really strange when they looked quite resurgent. I think they'd just beat Chelsea as well, the game at home before, and then Bournemouth. And that's 6-0 away at Brighton. And I know Brighton are absolutely fantastic and playing some real good stuff, but there was just it was a weird performance. Like, they got nowhere near them. Like, the midfield was completely off it. The striker crisis still, not scoring many goals. There's just something that when I look at them, I don't know, something weird with Wolves, I think. And I can't put my finger on what it is, but I just don't know. I don't think it's worked out or working as what I think they would have hoped it would have done by getting Lopetegui in as a coach. So if we have a look at the recent stats then, so it feels like it's the away team that pick up the points in this. Villa got one home win. Wolves have got two. Four away for Villa and three away for Wolves in the head-to-head. Recent games, 1-1 earlier in the season, 2-1 to Wolves, 3-2 to Wolves, 0-0 and a 1-0 Villa. Recent form guide, still a couple of green, well, three greens, so not too bad in the last five. And then this season, Villa are seventh. Mind the gap there, 14th, quite a big gap. So I'm not sure whether we'll be hearing that at the Molyneux. Me, Ryan and Justin will be at the Molyneux. So don't think that chance will be coming from the South Bank, will it? This is where Wolves' danger creation comes from this season, and this is where they are conceding goals from. This was their lineup against Brighton, which I think is going to be much changed, maybe. I think he'd be looking for a big reaction. I imagine Moutinho might come back into the side. I imagine Pedence might come in because, you know, when a side lose that heavily, it's all about that reaction. So I do think there will be a couple of changes in there. Semedo went off as well, so he might be missing out on this game as well. So this was their average positions of the Brighton game. I know it's difficult to show this because they got absolutely spanked, didn't they? So I think, you know, you've got to look at it in context. But we always show these. So this is what their average positions look like against Brighton. Their passing network as well. Everything was trying to go through Neves. And it just looks really isolated. That forward line couldn't get a foothold in the game. No focal point to that side either. This was the Brighton passing network. And I've been really impressed with this reverse 4-4-2 from Brighton. So normally you would see four defenders, four midfielders and two strikers. But what you are seeing from Brighton is two centre-backs in Byrne and Webster. And then they make up a four in midfield and a four up top. So really interesting how they're playing. Interestingly, they're playing this little box as well, what Villas tend to do, but we play our little box a little bit further forward. So this was the Brighton passing network in the game as well. So, Hannah, what are you expecting from Wolves v Aston Villa?
I'm expecting it to be a little bit tighter than I'd like it to be. I think they're just going to have to react, aren't they? You don't lose in that fashion and reel out the same team in the same mentality the next week. I don't think they'd live it down. So I do think it'll be quite tough. That recent history is just not great, is it? I just think that we've not won there. It feels like we've not won there in ages. In fact, I think that last win, that 1-0, was my first ever Up the Villa podcast interaction. I did a, my fan report, so it's quite nostalgic. But I never like playing Wolves. I really don't like playing Wolves. They're a team that I don't enjoy. And I think, I suppose it's a bit of that local rivalry. You're just desperate not to lose. But they are, Luke, you mentioned they're just a bit weird. Like, they've looked absolute dire for parts this season. But then they've pulled out some relatively good wins. So you just don't know actually what to expect.
My point is that I was saying is that even under Lopetegui, they've looked quite dire, which...
Yeah.
As a new manager coming in that's trying to get his philosophy going, it just feels a bit of a strange vibe there. I think even when he first came in, they sort of had a bit of an influx of good results and they started playing quite well. And then they had that little wobbly dip, didn't they, which brought them right back into it. And then, you know, so I think that's where, you know, I'm the same as you, I guess.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if you asked me kind of, what are they trying to do, or what's their objective, what's their style of play? I'm not sure I could really tell you. Not that I watch Wolves every week, but they're a bit like a team that you're kind of bobbing around at that kind of 14th, 15th position, not doing anything really, not having a real style of play, not having a real passion from the team. It's just a bit of nothingness, which sounds horrible, but it's also a local rivalry, so I kind of don't mind saying that. So just wind them up a bit. But I mean, some of them might agree, they might completely disagree. But
I listened to a couple of Wolves podcasts, and they do tend to say similar sort of things. So I remember after the Nottingham Forest game where that really didn't play great in that one either, and I was listening to a couple of their channels, and you know, it was all about the fight and the passion. And I've got to say, is it to do with maybe a couple of the players might be going as well and their heart's not in it as much, like Neves, and is someone like Pedence sort of looking around now thinking, I'm not sure whether I want to still be here now. So I think that's got something to do with it, really. A similar comparison, a bit like Chelsea. I'm continuing to watch Chelsea, and you know, they've got some good players, just like Wolves have. Like, Wolves have got some really good players, real good technicians like Pedence, Neto. You know, they've got some really nice midfielders as well, and it's just not clicking, is it? Like Chelsea. No. I mean, I watched them last night against Arsenal, and they look like they can't be arsed. And I saw Lampard on the touchline at one point, and he was making a sub, and he was sat like this, and I thought, he can't even be asked to make it. Like, someone's in his ear saying something, and he's like, I don't know. So, yeah.
It's that point in the season, isn't it, where the teams that are kind of bobbing along, they're safe, but they're not going to do anything. There's always going to be that kind of feeling that the players aren't that interested. Some of them know that they're not going to be around come end of August. So is that full fight there? And that is, I suppose, something that we have to hope is the case at the weekend. And as much as, you know, we don't want to rely on Wolves being rubbish, we want to rely on Villa being good. There are these kind of fine margins that sometimes you do need the opposition to kind of just be a bit off it and a bit like, oh, what have we got to play for here? But that's where the kind of local rivalry comes into play. I think it always makes it a bit spiky. So if I'm being honest, I don't really know what to expect from this game. I am hoping, though, that, you know, the way we have to look at it is that this is all in Villa's hands. We are the much better side. We're coming into this with more confidence, on better form. Everything is behind us, so it's in our hands, really. And we've just got to hope that this week has been restful, but also a good chance to just reset and kind of hone back in on those tactics that Emery was drilling in for the last 6 weeks or so. But in terms of what Wolves team are going to show up, anyone's guess, to be honest, I think.
Yeah. Ryan, how are you feeling?
Yeah, I sort of agree with both your comments. I think you can make a case for every team in that bottom half have just had a crap season, isn't that? From 11th downwards, everybody's looked in a mess at times. Everybody's looked threatened for relegation at times. You know, Palace have been up and down. Wolves have been up and down. West Ham have been up and down. Forest have been up and now they've got dragged back down. So everyone really down there has just had a mare of a season. And there's so many teams involved in it. It has whittled down now to five. And I think Wolves have done well to drag themselves out of it, because at one stage they looked right deep in the mud, didn't they? They weren't picking up wins at all, but their home form has sort of salvaged their season, really. You look at the last three, they picked up 9 points, so they've not conceded a goal. So it's a tough place to go, and Wolves have been a bit of an annoyance, haven't they, since we've come back into the Premier League. You know, we got that win that Hannah was talking about. And actually, Hannah, I am very superstitious. So to put you on the spot, I think a little cheeky fan report is due for this game. And hopefully that will get us 3 more points. But apart from that win.
Don't mention that one.
No, yeah, the end of Dino's reign. And, you know, even this season as well, when we was going good guns and the rots up at Villa Park, and we managed to salvage a point. So, I'm expecting a tough game. I always thought with this running that this one's my bogey team. Do you know what I mean? I've got a few Wolves fans, I always get a bit nervy about this one. But I want a replica of the one time I've been to Molineux and seen us win. It's a Heskey last-minute winner rising up bottom corner. And I want that buzz again now. I want that. We're all going to be in that away end. It's going to be my last away game of the season. You know, I was desperate for a goal at Old Trafford, but it's going to come at Wolves. And look, they are going to come out all guns blazing, because you know, they let the club down last weekend. You know, they might be on the beach, like you said, that the squad might be a bit in limbo land. Right, I'm off. We've done our job now. We've kept them up. You know, I'm on the beach. I don't want to get injured. Don't want to ruin my summer holidays. But I think out of all the games I've got left, this one is where they make it up with the fans. But even if they lost 1-0, I'd expect a reaction off them. So, and I'm expecting a reaction off Aston Villa. And there's a reason why Wolves lost 6-0. Do you know what I mean? You don't lose 6-0 because a few things went your way. Brighton did score some good goals and everything, they hit turned to goal. But there's a reason why they lost 6-0, and where we've got to capitalise on that. I think there's space in behind them. I think Wolves would want to sit back and frustrate us and let us have the ball and then try and hit us on the counter. But I think because they've lost 6-0, they're going to want to come out and impose themselves on us. And I think Watkins pacing behind their defence is key. And we've got to get Watkins in the game now. He must be dying for a goal to celebrate like the birth of his daughter, because he hasn't scored since she was born. So I want to see like a nice little baby celebration or something like that, him bagging a brace. And I think that's how we get at him. And we keep Pedance quiet as well, because he's a right little nuisance, any him. Always shows up against the Villa. So we keep him quiet. And then, I'm hopeful. I think we need these 3 points a lot more than Wolves. And I'm backing us to go and get them.
Cool. Score prediction time then. I'm going to kick it off with a 2-1 Aston Villa win. Hannah, what are you going for?
I'm going for... Go on, we'll stick with the nostalgia. We'll go for a 1-0. And I'm on screen, Ryan, promise you that the fan report.
What are you going with, Ryan?
You know what I wouldn't be going with? The away kit. I don't know why we're playing in that flipping away kit when we could be playing in claret and blue. Yeah. But everybody likes to break a curse. And I'm going to go. You know what I'm going to go for? I'm going to go 3-1. 3-1. A big one.
Love it.
Big bounce back from the Villa.
So that's our match preview for Wolves. We'll be back tomorrow with our predicted lineup, followed by press conference on Friday, and then we'll have fan cams after the game. Me, Justin, and Ryan are off to the Molineux, and then we'll have all of our content all through the weekend. So thanks everyone for watching. Up the Villa.
Up the Villa.